I mean, when the rest of us get wives, we're going to be open for this type of ribbing. Whereas, like, now that he's the only one with the wife, it's a real, like, please, take my wife.
He just wasn't firm. He just wasn't firm with her from the beginning. I'd never been firm with a woman in my life. From our dusty cellars, getting more head than Mount Rushmore, it's the final countdown.
Woo! Four.
Four, but massive.
A lot of head. Head volume, you know, and encouraging tourists to take pictures. You know, they come from far and wide.
It's a quantity over other kind of quantity question.
Yeah.
Quality, rock hard, no matter what.
Who's your presidential Mount Rushmore of presidents, former presidents, to have blow you?
Yeah, sorry, that's right. I was going to ask the exact same question. Number one, Grover Cleveland. Number two, for obvious reasons.
On two non-consecutive occasions, Grover Cleveland. That's why you want him. I don't know, Washington had the wooden teeth, so... I don't know if that's a good thing or.
But were the wooden teeth a permanent fixture? Could the wooden teeth come out? In which case, he jumps up high in the estimation.
No, it was a curse put on him by a wood nymph after he cut down that cherry tree and couldn't tell a lie.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Same thing happened to Sir Mix-a-Lot. He couldn't lie either.
Hey,
somebody liked this big butt. Who was it?
I cannot tell a lie.
I believe Washington's teeth actually weren't wooden. They were made of what most false teeth were made of in those days, which was like
human teeth. Yeah.
So, you know, I'd probably put it out there that I have wooden teeth as well. In that case.
Yeah.
Clinton have a technique down. That's the one thing.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Bill Clinton knows his way around. That sort of area. I wonder at what point they kind of retconned the wooden teeth thing for, because surely like people at the time knew he did not have wooden teeth, he had other people's teeth.
But at
some point they were like, maybe we need our greatest ever president to not have other people's teeth, and most likely slave teeth.
Because he
wasn't going to take a white person's teeth.
These were the children of babies and slaves, probably baby slaves, let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, history is cruel and horrible. But it happened.
It did happen. I'm Manus Cronin, joining us this week as always, graphing all of his relationships on the XY axis, listing all his exes and why he's not allowed within 50 feet of any of them, Jack Toner.
There was no doubt about who that one was going to be for.
That was excellent, man.
Excellent stuff, Manus.
Like the late Roy Orbison, also known as the Big O, but acquiring his nickname by pushing on his taint at the point of climax, Gavin Carberry.
Oh.
We know how you hit those notes the first time, Orbison. We know how you did it.
Not enough Roy Orbison jokes on the podcast up to this point. It's been 5 years.
Strap in, buddy. And last and least, he's somehow both not at the races and gone to the dogs, James Bell.
How you doing, Mattis?
I'm doing fine.
Isolation almost over?
Isolation is over.
Excellent.
I'm out of isolation. I'll tell you what, that isolation, that is not for your health. That's for everyone else. And like, thank you everyone who's isolated, because it is the worst thing you can do for your own health.
I imagine, yeah.
I'm trying to think as well, there's some stuff that like I'm trying to figure out. Is it COVID? Is it post-COVID stuff? Or is it just because, like, you hear about the brain fog? I definitely have that at the moment. But, like, when was the last time you ever spent 10 days in, like, one room and didn't leave and do anything else? I mean, that's probably going to fog you up a bit, you know?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean,
for a few days after.
Take your worst week ever in terms of activity. like a week when you for sure thought you did nothing and you did something. Mm. Like, you
yeah,
know,
yeah, you went to a shop.
And, or, yeah, and,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. You walked somewhere else in that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that was a transition. And I would have thought that there should have been maybe more attention paid to it. That was something at the start of like working from home that I had to clue into, which is that like, I had to massively up the deliberate exercise because like even I was like looking back at my Fitbit stuff and it's like, oh, I didn't do an exercise that day, except I did because I got like 10,000 steps just like walking to the bus or like, you know, posing about the office doing whatever. So like you think you did nothing and me, you didn't do anything worth writing home about, but you know, given how much we know improved outcomes from COVID seem to be correlated to better physical health. I could certainly say I went out exercising today and like I was able to do far less, but able to do far more. Like being impaired was a lot, you know, what wasn't as impaired as I might otherwise have been.
And
particularly because like there's no downside if we're wrong about that. Like if it turns out that it's like it turns out there was absolutely no correlation between COVID outcomes and being in good health. What? I mean, I look and feel better for nothing.
Yeah. This isn't like bloodletting or leaves. You know, there's kind of positive externalities to doing it, you know, regardless of COVID.
Yeah. It's like it didn't improve any health outcomes. It just improved every other measured outcome.
Including my health.
No, we got to cut this shit out. We got to cut this shit out.
Including my health.
Oh, man, I mean, I still got COVID, but by golly, did I, you know, not die of emphysema 10 years sooner than I would have been.
You are in significantly better shape than you were if pre-COVID. I would argue if COVID didn't happen, you'd die sooner, you know?
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, you know, you never really got, and as well, like, I bet lots of, like, you can see people who've gone either way. And like, cause it's the, and I did the far way the first time, not the first time, but like when we're locked down first and it's like, probably locked down for this. So, you know, nobody bought 2 weeks, right? Only the very gullible thought that was, but I think most of us were like, well, by the time the summer is over, I'd be out of the worst of it or whatever, you know?
So
it was like, I think a lot of people said, I'm just going to drink and take away my way through this.
Big time.
This motherfucker.
This guy as well. Like, the first few months were just like, every 5 o'clock it was a glass of wine and kind of twice a week it was a takeaway. And then, like, you had to be like, oh, wait, no, I need to find another way to break up the day between work and my own time. You know, maybe a walk or a run would be better than a half a bottle of wine.
I actually didn't drink much during lockdown, but I did get what could only be described as 10 to 14 takeaways a week.
Oh yeah, that'll do it.
10 to 14 is so much.
It's just like lunch.
Lunch.
And I certainly treated.
I'd be so fucking rich if I cooked.
I certainly treated isolation like that, though, where it was like, once the symptoms went away, so the symptoms didn't all go away, but the ones where I was like, where it was particularly unpleasant, went away by like the Monday. So I was like, I'm just drinking cans every night until I come back out.
Like there is like, you know, you've done really well, like drinking less this year, man. But there is like something kind of, I don't know, like, you kind of need to take care of yourself psychologically as well. And no matter how you do that, there are certain times when you just need to either indulge or like mong out or just like, you know, drink a little bit or whatever, you know, and as long as it's not fucking every day for like 10 years.
No, well, see,
It's good. You know, that release is important.
And it's where I think being like realistic about what stuff like how long they intended a lockdown or something like that to be. Well, I do get the social manipulation part of it, where it's like just a little further, and you know, you reckon people would have said, well, fuck off, it's going to be 2 years.
Yeah,
maybe they would, but you do, the calculation is different with what you do. Like, if it's are we snowed in for a week, cans and pans. That's what we're going to do. because focus.
And by pans, do you mean bed pans?
I mean both bed pans and sliced pans. Both. That's all you need.
You do not want to mix those up.
The sliced pan isn't the worst bed pan in the world, but let me tell you what's a pretty bad sliced pan. No, I had to sit. I was sitting there. I was glad I didn't take any time off work. So sitting there during the day doing my work and like knowing that at 5 o'clock I was drinking 8 Budweisers and watching.
Nice.
I ran out of Tarantino films after like day 5, so it was LA Confidential, close enough.
Did you go down Guy Ritchie route as well? Quentin Tarantino imitators.
Michelle was a good 5 minutes into like talking with me about LA Confidential because she really liked LA Confidential too, and she was telling me about the black guy that was in it, and I was like, the black guy that was in it? And I was like, there are black actors in LA Confidential, but they're like not the heroes. And she was like, no, Russell Crowe. I was like, yeah, Russell Crowe is in it. Yeah. And then she said, and the black guy, you know, with the glasses. And I'm like, Michelle, are you talking about Lethal Weapon? She mixed up Russell Crowe and Mel Gibson and just went from there.
In fairness, white people do all look the same.
They're both Australian.
Angry Australian actors, but
they're angriest. And then I figure out she's talking about Danny Glover. I'm like, Michelle, that is Lethal Weapon.
An excellent suggestion for the next film I watch after LA Confidential.
I mean, we were a good while into it before I caught, so more on me, to be honest. She does these a lot. One of them was like, she's talking about, oh, you know Denzel Washington? Are you really like him? Yeah. You know that basketball film he's in? I was like, I vaguely remember a Denzel Washington basketball. See, Michelle knows that if she's interested in an actor or films or whatever, she'll watch like their whole thing. So she'll come on. And I often won't know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
So I Google it and I'm like, oh yeah, he got Game. That wasn't particularly good, but I did see it. That was like the RTE movie.
She meant Coach Carter, didn't she?
Did she mean White Men Can't Jump, Wesley Snipes?
Did she mean Space Jam?
I thought all of these things and none of them were correct. And then she was like, maybe it was a baseball film. I was like, Major Leagues.
Also Space Jam?
I was like, is it Wesley Snipes in a baseball film?
Wesley Snipes and Denzel are so different.
Cuba Gooding Jr. Cuba Gooding Jr. in Jerry Maguire.
These are all the things I was guessing. except for Cuba Gooding Jr. one. And until she was like, you know, when he was playing the coach, I was like, oh, she does mean Coach Carter. And then she goes, and he was the first black coach, you know, that the team had, and he replaced
The Titans.
I said, Michelle, that's Remember the Titans. At least it is Denzel Washington, but like game, Michelle.
Well, honestly, I'd rather she get the wrong sport than the wrong black guy.
Yeah, in fairness.
That's a real positive testament to her character.
I guess. Yeah, like in current year it is. But I mean, you know, she wasn't to know that was going to, when she was building that as her character, she wasn't to know that was going to be du jour, you know?
She looked out on seeing people as people and sports as
And seeing sports as sports.
It's a sport, you know.
It's a sport, you know.
It's a sport.
So, yeah, that was so these are, you can have a good old conversation, but a lot of the time it's like talking to it not to a child in the sense that she is childlike. Were you ever like talking to a 5-year-old about dinosaurs, and if he tells you something, it's just like, yeah, that's probably right, because 5-year-olds know everything about dinosaurs. Even if it's something you're sure of, it's like, he probably fucking knows.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure a brontosaurus is a carnivore. You're right. Yeah.
He's making a good point. He is 5.
Yeah. Also, I got to call out some paleontologists here, right? My favorite dinosaur when I was a 5-year-old, because we all had one, was the Brontosaurus. Turns out, not a real dinosaur.
What?
Some rogue paleontologist jammed two dinosaurs to get two fossils together to make a brontosaurus.
It's a Frankensaurus?
It's a Frankensaurus. It took like the neck of one thing and the body of another. It's like, yeah, this is a new fucking dinosaur.
Oh, they probably like got like a Brachiosaurus neck. And like,
yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I bet there's loads of like prehistoric dinosaurs. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, we don't fucking know.
We don't fucking know. Yeah. What do we know?
Like when you, like forget the dinosaurs. You go back to like Greek times and it's just like, well, we have a source, but he was alive like 600 years after it happened. And a lot of this stuff is discredited, but you know, we're still pretty sure Achilles and, you know, all these guys were floating around fighting in a phalanx. We don't really know what it looked like. We know, but they drew pictures, but have you seen their pictures? I mean, have you seen what they think, what things we do have these days, what they think they look like? And we're just like, yeah, phalanx would have looked like this. You know.
Here's how I would have done it. Yes, but you have thousands of years more examples to go from.
and that's with like people with who've written things down. So I don't know how, we're sure that like it wasn't just like, it's a Diplodocus. He's the watery dinosaur, you know.
Yeah, yeah. We're pretty sure that this fish-like dinosaur floated around like it's some sort of eagle. We don't know how it works, but like there are probably feathers on him. I don't know.
Yeah, there's probably different oxygen content in the air, you know, probably made it easier for the dinosaurs to absorb that. We think they breathed sodium.
We think they breathed sodium. Yeah, they got their energy. Yeah. They got their special powers from Earth's yellow sun.
And the same people who sit there and like mock, like, you know, the creationists, and like there's a lot to mock, but it's like, yeah, they're wrong, and we do know they're wrong, but you're a lot wrong too, buddy. To be as sure as you are, you thought the Brontosaurus existed, you know.
To quote, well, it's always in Philadelphia, science is a bitch sometimes.
It's true. Very true. When's the new season of that coming out? Actually, there was talk of them filming it.
They have a podcast now, don't they? It's Spotify are recommending it to me.
I don't listen to any podcasts that aren't our podcast.
Got to keep the numbers up.
Yeah, and obviously I do listen to Jordan Peterson and do everything he says as well.
Obviously,
but all he says to do is listen to our podcast.
His main takeaway these days is to listen to our podcast. Ever since he got into the benzos, he's been really into us. I don't know what that is, but I am for it.
Listen to make sure you don't turn out like these guys.
I narrowed it down to one simple rule now.
Just listen to these guys. So wait, on our regular segment, Jordan Peterson watch. So he's off the beef and on the benzos.
Oh, you don't get off the beef and the benzos at the same. No, he's on the, I don't know. I don't think he takes the benzos anymore, but he was on them. I think he still takes the beef. I don't know. I don't really listen to him. Like I have heard him. I've heard him talk. I'm not like completely
aware
of what he sounds like, but like, there's a lot of content out there. We have a lot of episodes you could be listening to. But I confused his book there. I called it 12 Simple Rules. I was mixing it up with 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, which he also wrote.
Number one's the same. Clean your room.
Yeah,
clean your fucking room.
If you're going to buy my teenage daughter in that room, it better be clean.
There were so many people in that show.
12 Rules for Life.
8 Simple Rules.
I didn't realize they made a sitcom.
Yeah, it's basically redoing their bedrooms.
Yeah. What do you mean there were so many people in it?
Like
there's so many people in every show.
No, just like for one of the David Spade, who only does hits. You know, he's the
David Spade only came into it after the original dad died.
And he played a less responsible, more lecherous dad.
Yes, he did.
For me trying to fuck my own daughter.
Hey, everybody, it's me, David Spade. You know, the first guy you think of when you think suave, sophisticated sex machine. I know, right?
Uh, But it also has Kaylee Sigal, who actually is a hit machine. And
yeah,
Kaylee Cuoco from fucking Big Bang Theory.
Oh yeah. Also a hit machine then. Also just a hit two machine. Two big hits.
Just that's enough.
Yeah. Oh, hits. I'm sorry. Wait, you lost me there for a moment.
Who did David Spade replace again? Someone very famous.
I can't remember his name.
Randy Quaid.
No, he's still alive. Fortunately, Randy Quaid is still alive. I don't know. He's dead. He died of like cardiomyopathy or something, but I can't remember his name. I can picture him, which is great for this podcast.
Manus, you have drawn a very, very photorealistic picture of this actor. I can't place him either.
You know, he was in that basketball movie with Denzel, you know.
Channing Tatum?
Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, it was Ryan Gosling was who it was. Yeah. I can't remember who it was. Like he sort of looked like Jim Belushi, but he, or, you know.
Was it John Ritter, was it? No.
No.
I don't know.
Maybe it was, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, John Ritter. He did die. He was in Scrubs. He was JD's dad.
No, it wasn't. Oh, maybe it was him. I don't know.
It's the kind of thing that he would be all over.
You know who's dead? Tupac as well. I'm Biggie. Both.
What?
Really?
Welcome to Slow Burn, season 6.
How's Suge Knight doing?
Jail.
Good.
He is good. Not for killing either of those, but he's in jail for something. Interestingly now, because he has nothing to do but walk around slowly on a cane and eat prison food, he's got a Tupac. Belly on a belly. Yo, man, I got a Tupac. I'll check out on the Instagram.
For anyone here anxiously awaiting what beer we're reviewing, we're all on the water tonight. All right,
Guinness clears.
We're all drinking some GCs, all right, because of various reasons. And don't get on our ass about it. We'll be having a beer next week.
Get on my ass if you want. I still don't know what it smells like.
I'm not sure what that means, man.
I was in the gym today and I farted. And like, I have no idea if I like fumigated the place.
Oh, it's a COVID thing.
Because you can't smell anymore.
You still have no sense of smell. How's your sense of taste?
I can taste like, but without the smell, you can only taste very basic. You can taste like salty, sweet, like, you know, hot cum, and you know, those
things. Standards.
Standard ones that you always eat, you know, the basics. No, yeah, I'm very limited taste. Cannot smell at all. I keep like, I've been researching it, and one article's like, you can try smell training again to maybe get it back. I'm like opening up the peanut butter because I know what that smells like, opening up various bottles of whiskey, see, can I like even sort of figure out the different ones, like open the coffee every morning, see, no, but like my initial reaction was, oh shit, I fired at the gym. You don't ever mean to do that. It just
just happens.
Hey, look, your body's doing stuff. It's going to do more stuff.
And then I was like, oh no, I'm fine. I'm good. I can keep going. And it was only like after I was already home, I was like, I have no idea if that was okay. I might have been like, you know, that could have been a floor clearer for all I know. You know those days when you're just like nuclear and you can tell from fart one of the day, you're just like, I can't go anywhere or do anything.
It's worse when you find that out midway through the day when you've already committed to doing stuff and then you're just at a party. And you're like, oh no.
I've definitely told this on the podcast before, but I once went on a night out in, I think it was in Crawdaddy. I'm not sure what night it was, but I was crop dusting every single room and I was with two people who like I didn't like know that well at the time. And I just had to be like, God, this club is so smelly. Like I had something wrong with my stomach, but like just had to like constantly move around, crop dust that area, move away and be like, geez, something's not right here. But it was woeful.
If you're diligent enough about it, though, yeah, you can cultivate the notion that the club just smells.
But you have to be consistent and proactive about making that true. Because if you only mention it sometimes, people will be like, are we sure?
Oh, okay. So what you're suggesting, Jack, is you're like, Oh man, fucking Fade Street Social. That place stinks. That place absolutely stinks. You start now. And then whenever you've got a case of the runs or a dodgy tummy, you're like, where do you guys feel like going? For some reason, I feel like going to that stinky shithole.
You know that smelly pub with the expensive pints? Let's go there.
I was more thinking walk in front so it doesn't arrive with you.
Okay. Yes, that's very important.
But yeah, your plan is probably the meta play. You got to have your fart-safe pubs.
But look, you gotta have your fart safe pubs. Oh, and we know the ones that already stinks. Smell like we know the ones that already stink.
They're all the ones you go to, listener. Now, let's be honest, Underdog. Great pub smells like farts. Not their fault. Not their fault. It's in a basement and it is full of neckbeard enthusiasts. It smells like farts in there. Yeah. But fortunately for Brewdog, or not Brewdog, but
Baseball Underdog.
Underdog. You know, you put frog in boiling water and deeps out or whatever, and if you heat it up, gradually he stays in. You know, I don't know if that's true or not. I figure a frog would have the good sense to get out of water as it started to get too hot for him. But it is true for farts. If you just gradually increase the fart smell in the area, you know, you go nose blind.
Yeah, big time. I've
seen the Febreze ad. You know.
No, yeah. And the next ad should be Underdog with a bunch of people blapping out constantly their Belgian triples, as they've come to be known.
And I don't know if somebody on Twitter the other day was suggesting Underdog might be coming back, which is a shame if for no other reason that there kind of isn't another bar in Dublin like it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't go there that much, so I'm not going to like sit here lamenting it. Like, you know, the way when everyone's like, I can't believe the cobblestone's gone. I used to love going there for a traditional session once every 3.5 years.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and do that.
I'll be real. I didn't sign the cobblestone petition. I've been there once. That would be disingenuous of me to put my name to this. Yeah, plus, I fucking love hotels.
I mean, they're great.
They're deadly. They are absolutely like, oh, nothing like a fucking
hotel. I love hotels almost as much as I pretend to love the cobblestone and bones. If they had an eighth of the people who said they supported them who actually went to their games, Bohemians would be minted.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be playing in the A, man, that's for sure. Well, I think my point about Underdog was, it's not really about Underdog, but it is about the farts and the neckbeards and the fatties and the losers. And listen, we're not above them, unless we're walking past Underdog, in which case we're literally above them because they're down there. Well, I was reading the Irish Times, you know, as I often do, in the old Roisin Ingle spot currently occupied by Emer McLysett in the magazine, you know. And she's going on, I didn't read the full thing, which I don't think there was any need to. I just picked out the little head, you know, not the headline, but the bit, you know, the bit that they highlight.
Yeah.
And she was like talking, she said something like, well, hipsters graduated from craft beer and needed to go on to some sort of something else. And it was just, hipsters were never into craft beer. I get that if you don't know the difference, you just saw a beard and you thought, those are hipsters. Yeah. No, those are neck beards. That's a deer. Hipsters drink like PBR.
Yeah.
It's they particularly funny like, when Irish hipsters would do it because PBR is super expensive here, even though it's super cheap. Like the point of it in New York is that it was dirt cheap. Like it's the same with all the music heads drinking Red Stripe, but in Dublin. It's like that's fucking imported. Like the reason they drank it in the London scene is because it was the cheapest drink in the venue. You don't get this right at all. Because, you know, you watch back on, like, real cringe RTE stuff from, like, the 80s, and it's like, and here are the goths. And they're all just looking like Boy George going, going like, oh, my God, how embarrassing that they thought that was cool looking. They're just like, and then, like, but we do the same thing. Our generation is exactly the same thing.
I think it like everyone will be like, so everyone had short back and sides and a man bun? Yes.
God, the man bun era, like,
will not age well. But we know that we knew that going in.
I don't think we did know that going in. It became apparent, like, I would say a few days into the man bun era. But
yeah, we all watched a few episodes of Vikings and assumed it had been around forever.
The man bun was fine. Was fine when Mick Pyro and nobody else had it. It was pretty fucking cool. You'd be like, to the point that like early on, man bun guys, who just had a beard and long hair. It's like, oh, that's Mick Pyro. No, it isn't. Yeah. He doesn't look like him either. But like, you know, you get a heuristic for what somebody looks like, and it's just.
There was like I think in every group of friends there was like one person who looked really good and had a man bun, and then there were, and for every one person there were 10 who were like, oh man, the bun isn't really folding over correctly because the hair is not long enough, you've gone for the bun a bit too early, which I understand the temptation, but it was a mistake, and you don't really have the overall look to pull off the man bun. This is going to it's not going to end well, and it didn't start well for you.
But a lot of those people, like, no look they were going to go for was going to end well. Like, it, you know, it was...
Yeah. I suppose, but yeah, I suppose when you're in that situation, you go for kind of the least disagree, or the least kind of, I don't know, I think, like, for something out there, you kind of need a certain look already, which is unfair. But, like, life's unfair.
No, you kind of do, or at least a charisma about you or something. Like if you're, okay, look, speaking as a guy who could be accused of using this to substitute for a personality, if you're going to be a loud, garish shirt guy,
yes,
again, mea culpa, you sort of have to have a personality that means that, like, you're not, that your loud, garish shirt isn't filling in for your personality, you know?
Yeah.
You need to kind of have a certain charisma.
I feel like it's an amplifier. It's going to amplify an interesting personality, and it's going to amplify a boring one.
It is, because a loud garish shirt, much like a man bun, will draw the eye, and then it's like, what are you going to do with it?
You've got
my attention. What are you going to do with it?
Impress me.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be a loud garish personality. You could be like the smoldering type. You know, you could kind of be the kind of interesting looking guy. It's like, why? But you got to be like Sam Toner could wear one.
Well,
he could wear a man bun too, but like, he could be a loud garish shirt guy if he wanted to, and like, he doesn't talk much, so it's not like he has this loud personality to match. But you know, you could be, your attention could be, he never says like stupid stuff either, like, he's just like
rarely if ever wrong.
Yeah, you know, you could be like, I wonder what's going on in there. What's going on with this?
It's
guy?
Just a monkey with a symbol the whole time.
Yeah, everyone, but it could be, but we don't know.
Everyone thinks he's this enigma and there's some of the crazy stuff going on there. He's just chilling, bro.
That's fine too, though. Again, it's all, we're talking about aesthetics here, you know, not athletics, which rhymes.
It does. They can't take that away from us.
Yeah, I mean, because what I'm thinking of wacky shirt guy. I'm thinking of like the guy from The Office who's funny, but he's not funny. But you know,
Tie around the head man. But he's not coming straight from The Office.
Well, tie around the head man, but like the wrong tie around the head man is great when tie around the head man starts in like a suit that just looks fucking normal.
Yeah. And then if you're at a wedding and you're sat at the dinner portion listening to the speeches and someone has the tie around the head, you're like, get me away from this gout. What the fuck?
Tie around the head man is like speaking of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, when Dennis is talking about, no, we need girls to go wild, we don't need them that are already wild. Tie around the head man needs to be fairly reserved until the speeches are over, the first dance has happened, he's like starting to pop out, the belly's starting to pop out the bottom of the shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't, that suit, he doesn't care that much about fashion, so that suit used to fit him.
Yeah.
My golly, he's wearing it again. And then he decides everyone needs to liven up a little bit. Puts the tie on the head. Everyone has a great time. Garrett's shirt guy is like, oh, it'd probably be real funny if I put the tie on the head, wouldn't it? And you may now kiss the... For the love of God, Kevin.
Take the tie off the head.
Take the tie. It's not
your time.
That's not for hours. But we do want it then.
I'm the wacky guy. I'm always so wacky. Look at my shirt. Wouldn't expect this, would you?
Real wacky guy at the wedding energy is grinding on the mum of the bride.
Wacky is an interesting way to put that.
I mean, he's whacking in a way.
Something's getting whacked.
Well, I don't know that grinding on the mum guy, who does exist, but I don't know that he belongs in the category. Like, there are categories in a wedding, or a lot of social settings, but weddings for sure, where it's like, if that guy hasn't shown up, someone will be like, I guess it's time. And yeah, someone who wouldn't ordinarily do, like Tyrann the Head guy, if it hasn't happened by about four songs in, someone will do
Someone will do it, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Someone will step up to the plate, put the tie around the head. Yeah.
It is inevitable.
Yeah, it's time for that, you know. Too drunk guy, for sure. Probably an uncle, and he'll probably do it naturally.
And that Venn diagram hasn't done it, has overlap.
Yeah, I suppose so.
You can be both.
You can be both. I don't feel like Too Drunk Man is often a first mover. I feel like they're a follower. So like they might be the second person with the tie on the head, but
they're not fundamentally brave like Tie on Head.
Too Drunk Man is the guy who has seen the reaction that Tie Around the Head guy got and thinks the only difference between him and Tie Around the Head guy it is the tie around the head, and that if he puts the tie around the head, all of the opprobrium, is opprobrium the bad one or is that a good thing? Anyway, all of the bad shit that he'd been getting for being the two, they think he's grateful when I put his tie around the head and all this forgetting. But no one even sees that because he's pissing himself, you know. Turns into fight the bouncer guy later, but it's not much of a fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's fighting the bouncer. The bouncer is doing their job.
Yeah. And he's got all that strength from all that drink he drank. So it's not really a fair fight. You know the way when you drink loads, you get stronger and more coordinated?
Oh, I've always noticed that, yeah.
Yeah.
My strategy is to drink so much that I don't feel pain. So it doesn't matter how much he hits me. I just need to get one clean shot in and then I win on pain.
Yeah, that works. That's how that works. I've seen that diagram in a few different fighting treatises from the Middle Ages, actually.
It's in the appendices of Sun Tzu's The Art of War. It's just no one ever reads the appendices of books.
Yeah, especially not that book. I mean, barely anyone even knows it exists. Most people who do quote it, though, it is like writing Metallica on your school bag, though, right? I mean, Machiavellian, isn't it? Is it?
It's not really what that book. It's not really
like
that book.
Dante's Inferno. Okay, I can see that you have intricately put Slipknot on this pencil case, but I struggle to believe that you have listened to one of their albums based on everything else I know about you.
What if you put some of the more obscure quotes, like "Make sure your horses are well fed"? You know, you don't go for the big ones that you can apply to life. You go for the very specific ones about war. You know,
that's how you know you're a real tryhard. You will do that because, like, no one's going to read. I mean, I don't think The Prince is a particularly long book, but yeah, I still have it.
It's remarkably short, and it's just a bunch of very short and terrible explanations of what would be better described as graphs showing who should be in charge if a bunch of shit happens.
Yeah. They all weirdly, it's this odd character who's not referenced in any other literature at the time, called Manto, who they seem to say kind of at the top of the organizational chart.
Yeah. He's like,
it is prophesized, in fact, that
and when the Manto should arrive, he shall treat him as God.
That's even though no one's really read it, you know. I've been here for fucking years.
Ain't nobody come a knocking.
Nobody come a knocking, you know, except the TV license inspector. I show the COVID vax cert to the TV license inspector on the TV license when I need to go to a pub. It's working out perfectly for me. In an unrelated note, I'm going to be in the High Court next week challenging a few things. So I just want to tell you before I get silenced that RTE is the virus and also Sports are the virus, and as well, Leo Varadkar is the virus.
But you know, it's not the virus. The virus. Yeah,
the one the thing virus. That's not the virus. The virus is RTE, though. So I watched the virus for my news, and I... Hang on a second, man.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah, look. Get the chart out. We had this down a second ago.
Yeah, no, we'll get the chart. They say any man who represents himself in court has a fool for a client, but that's not true because I'll be representing myself in court. My client will be me. No fool, I'll tell you. Tell you what, young sir. This is the new way. I won't fail where John Waters failed. You know? Yeah. I'll be bringing a leaf-type Pokemon, so the water will have no effect. I don't know, I think a couple of pages of this legal textbook got stuck together and mixed in with some things, but I, you know, it's all right. Yeah.
This legal dex has given me some really interesting takes.
I made some legal flashcards here, and I sent my son off to school, you know, with his Pokemon trading card. You know. So as I look at my my opening statement, which says Charizard can't. Oh no! Hang on a sec. Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Mantle but Junior, no.
Panama.
Michelle doesn't think it's going to be Manto Jr. if it's a boy, but and she's not pregnant, but you know, it's going to be Manto Jr.
Manto. If you could find a way to sneak in Jr., you know, I don't want to call him Manus. That I mean, naming after stuff. What about something like Manticore or
you know, convince her it's from like Harry Potter or something?
Yeah,
she loves Harry Potter, so she'll probably know that it isn't. And Juno Jr., that's my Uncle Jr., you know.
Yeah.
From Brazil. You know, obviously who I don't want to give the middle name of the child. I'll be bringing him for his first day of school. No, there's no need. You stay here. Putting on the little label. Hi, I'm Manto Jr.
Manus, where does all this Manto Jr. merch come from? You got hats, you got pencil cases, you got...
Look, I much like Prince Rhaegar, I initially thought that the prophecy referred to me. Now I realize, as I keep you here in this tower, that in fact the prophecy refers to my son. So I got ahead of the game. MAGA hats were big, but these things, they're going to be huge. What do you think, Manto Jr.? What do you think it's... Do you like the hat? Do you like the way it says Manto Jr.?
You never even taught me how to read, you fucking dope.
Gosh, I forgot a few things. I forgot a few things with this kid.
But he does know not to attack an army uphill.
Yeah, he does know.
He's been... And he's practiced. I had him have a tilt at a couple of your lesser armies.
You know, your Faroe Islands, your...
Yeah, I believe I said Martinique didn't have an army in the last episode. I since looked it up and they do have the French army.
Is this like Costa Rica don't have an army, but like if you attack Costa Rica, you're attacking the US?
Yes. Well, yeah, they don't even have an army. Do you not think there might be a reason why they don't have an army? Someone else might be taking care of that for them, you know? This guy isn't even fucking educated in the art of 16th century swordplay. As he trains his gun on you, you know? Go get him, Manto Jr., for you are trained in this art.
Who may have a bunch of spare army lying around that they're not using?
You know, the Irish Rangers are the best soldiers in the world. I know that they do let us say that to make us feel better. No, they constantly win in the sniper competitions. Yeah, all right, fine. The like sniper competitions is like amateur sumo. It's like, yeah, like you know who like doesn't have sniper competitions? You know, the fucking countries that have wars, you know. I'd say they're pretty fucking good at it. Like
we're the best snipers available at midday on a Tuesday.
Okay. I don't want to disrespect the Irish Rangers until Manto Jr. comes along to never charge you uphill. I'm sure the Irish Rangers are fantastically good at being soldiers. I don't believe we have the best ones. I just don't believe it. They might win the contest. So I don't even know that they don't. But like, it's probably a bad time to say the Americans win the wars because, I mean, they've lost a couple, but you know. It took them 20 years for Afghanistan to kick them out. Well,
to Vietnam have the best army? I mean, if we're talking like Rayburn Shield of like, or like, you know, the heavyweight belt is like whoever beat the champ last.
Yeah, because I was going to say surely Afghanistan are the linear champions, but no, because Vietnam beat America, so they're not the champion anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So who's beaten Vietnam since? Fucking no.
I don't think anyone. Vietnam did take down the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, so there's that for them. You know?
Yeah.
No, they had also systematically removed anyone competent from their political system. So I don't imagine they were that difficult to actually take down. He's got glasses. Kill him. Why do they kill other people with glasses? Well, they think they're all the smart ones. They probably are. Why do they think that's a good idea?
But are America the reigning champs? When they went to Vietnam,
I think it's because the Brits. I think everything it all coalesced on the Brits, and then the American War of Independence probably put it on the Yanks,
and then the Vietnamese took it. And then they didn't lose the war until Vietnam.
I think you could argue that America did lose the War of 1812 to the British, though. I think you can argue that.
Okay, all right. So the Brits have it back.
So it's.
I think that might have been a no contest, but on the judges' scorecards, I think you probably could give it to. I think the Brits had it back at that stage, and then they went on a bit of a tear, beating lots of people. Because the Brits got beaten by a lot of low cards in the deck, you know, a lot of times towards the end of that empire. So who the fuck knows who had it after them?
It could be us, some former colony. You know, it's not India. They were after us. Who knows? Could be us.
The linear champions before?
Was there any colonial country that gained its independence through war from the British before Ireland? There definitely was.
Is the title held up until we get the North back? Is that where it really is?
Oh, good point.
Is that the one judge who hasn't landed in his scorecard yet? And
Bruce Buffer's
great, great, great grandfather's standing in the middle of the ring going, it's presumably gonna be time.
Or were that given that there were other fights going on with the Brits since then, they went off to fight other fights. We didn't, you know, get it clean, so then it's India. But then
here's the thing. You go to World War II, everyone throws their contention in. Maybe that goes to Russia.
It goes to Russia.
You can't split it between all the allies, you know?
Yeah.
So Russia, backed by communism, was defeated by communism. So communism would seem to be the linear champion.
All right, okay.
Because that system kind of collapsed on itself.
I mean, if the Bolsheviks haven't won yet, it's not the end, you know?
No, it's true. Is your royal family still ensconced? Do their children remain unslaughtered in a basement? Let me tell you, it is not the end.
So it's communism.
Communism
always wins in the end. No way. Sorry, but someone's got to have beaten communism.
Boris
Yeltsin.
Boris Yeltsin.
Vodka beat him.
Vodka
beat him into a pulp.
And so far, I think the vodka's undefeated.
I think so. I've never defeated any of you.
So the reigning champion of war is vodka.
Is vodka, yeah. And anyone who's read the fullness of The Art of War and Machiavelli's The Prince does know that at the end it does say that.
It says, yeah.
And that's why it won't surprise you at all to hear that this Alcohol of Fame episode is dedicated
to vodka, our lord and leader.
10 out of 10, consensus, greatest of all time, pound for pound, heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah.
Linear and actual vodka.
Well done. Well deserved.
I'd love to know the person who has enough interest in history to enjoy when we talk about this stuff, but is ignorant enough about it to not be furious when you say things.
You have the beer nut.
Right, well, I know that's all lies, but once they review beer at the end, I suppose it'll be fine. Well, I got something for you today, Jerry.
Yep, just a tall drink of water. Having a glass with his two pals.
It's good. All right. We've rambled on enough. We rambled on enough 20 minutes ago, but we've rambled
on.
I think we truly peaked.
This is one of the best ones. This is the one, I think.
In fact, call the episode title is one of the best ones.
One of the best ones.
I'm going to say, can someone email Dan Carlin?
Yeah,
he could do 30 hours on the linear champion of war. And I've listened every last month.
You know, you got to think to yourself, huh? Maybe who defeated communism? Of course, everyone thinks that maybe it was vodka. Now, that doesn't seem like an obvious thing for any of us who know about history. Remember, I'm not a historian, just a fan of history, so I get to have these discussions. But what if Boris Yeltsin was the...
Very good.
In his book, Empire Against the Sun. Oh, wait, hang on. All right, some of that.
Guys, reviewing water, 10 out of 10. You should be drinking more, listener.
Yeah. Yeah, how much are you drinking
Was that Conway's number one liquid?
Water? I think it was. It was either that or H2O.
And like he kept saying milk is a semi-solid and therefore it doesn't qualify, but like it is a liquid.
It's
what
not.
The fuck are you talking about, John? And if you're not going to be accurate, then what have you got? We were just coming for facts, you know, same way as the listener does here. So leaves us only one thing to chase to facts.
To facts. To facts. Hey.
Hooray.
And cut.
Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.